Well, I did remember to print out the things for the kids this week, and then, of course, all the kids left. So that's okay. We'll give them to them next week. I did print out the weeks before. Well, if you would grab your Baptist Catechism, we come to question 12. And it is a continuation of the same section on God's decrees, but then this is the actuation of God's decrees. So as we saw the last few weeks, what are God's decrees and how does he execute these decrees? Well, he executes them in the work of creation and providence. So this is how it works. God decrees, or he tells what he's going to do, and then he does them. So the decrees are him telling what he's going to do, and then creation is him actually doing the things he declared he would. So that's what we come to in question 12, when we speak about the work of creation. So in question 11, how does he execute his decrees? He executes his decrees in the works of creation. So that's what we're now going to answer. So let's read question 12 together. I'll read the question, and you will read the answer. Question 12, what is the work of creation? So there's a theological word for this. The work of creation is God making all things out of nothing. It's called ex nihilo. It's actually on the kids' pages, so I was going to have them participate, but they're not here. That's a Latin word that means out of nothing. So in the beginning, or before the beginning, there is God. And as we know, God is spirit. He's not made up of a body or material or matter. And then, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. That is to say, he created time, space, and matter out of nothing. So, some of those in philosophy would say that the earth, or the universe, is co-eternal with God. But that is not what we believe, and that's not what the Bible teaches. Rather, God creates all things out of nothing. And how does he do it? By the word of his power in the space of 6 days. And he declares all of it to be very good. So turn with me real quick to Genesis 1. And I say quick because it should be the first few pages of your Bible. And as we have stated before, we see Trinitarian theology within the first three verses. So in the beginning, if you look at the Greek Greek Old Testament, it's the same as the Greek New Testament. NRK, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So right at that moment, creation came into being by the word of his power. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." So there we see the three persons of the Godhead represented: God the Father, God the Spirit, and then God the Word, or the Son. And so God creates. Now, would we say God the Father creates alone? No. God the Father creates with the Son and with the Spirit. And as he creates by his word, he does it in the space of 6 days. Now, when it says 6 days, it means 6 days. It's not six time periods. It's not 6,000 years. It's not these time periods. It's one day, one yom. And he does so in the space of 6 days. On the seventh day, he rests. But he looks upon all of his creation, And he says that everything is very good. So that is the work of his creation. He creates all things and then he governs over them. Now turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 33, I believe. And there in verse 6, Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of Yahweh the heavens were made. Who is the word? Jesus. So by Jesus the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, that would be the Spirit, all of their hosts. So it is a Trinitarian work of creation. God creates all things. Now turn with me, just to prove that one last time, to John 1:1. Like I said, John 1:1 begins the same way that Genesis 1:1 begins. Exact same language in both the Greek. And archaein, in the beginning was, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So notice there, John is making a distinguishing for us the persons of the Godhead. God the Father and God the Son, and yet they are one God. All things were made through him. All things were made through Jesus, as we just saw in Psalm 33. And without him was not anything made that was made. So what verse 3 tells us is that Jesus is not created, but rather he is eternal. There is nothing that has been created that Jesus did not create with the Father and with the Spirit. Now turn with me to Colossians 1. Just trying to get you familiar with your Bibles. And look at verse 15. Now, this is actually one of those hymns that we believe was written by Paul that is contained in the New Testament. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So notice there, Jesus is the creator. All things were made through him, and by him, and to him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So that's what we see in question 11. He executes his decrees in the work of creation. Jesus creates, and by his providence. All things hold together in Jesus. Now, Bedham has some good questions within his commentary. He asks, did God create the world? Which is an important question. And as we just saw in Genesis 1, yes. But Hebrews 1:10 also says, thou, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. And all things in it. So not only did he create the heavens and the earth, so there are some people who want to say that, well, God kicked off the process of creation, but then left it up to its natural processes, and we evolved from fish and came about. No, that's not what Scripture teaches. So did God create all things that are in it? Acts 17:24. God made the world and all things therein. That means he made you and me. That means he made everything around us. Now here's an interesting question. Did he create the soul of man? Bedham says yes, And he quotes Zechariah 12:1, who forms the spirit of man within him. Now, I say that's interesting because there are two positions on the creation of the human soul. One is called creationism, which is different than what we think about Genesis 1, and traducianism. Creationism says that God uniquely forms the soul of every man. Traducianism teaches that the man's soul is created by his parents or passed down to him. Now, I actually happen to hold to both or a hybrid version because I can't get past Zechariah 12:1. God forms the spirit of man within him. And yet, at the same time, God does not create us as sinful human beings. Rather, we inherit the sinful nature of our parents. So we inherit our sin nature, and yet we can still affirm that God forms the spirit of man and that he knits us together in our mother's womb, and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't think they have to go against one another. And along those same lines, did God create the body of man? Well, yes. You see in Genesis 2, God what? Takes us from the dust from the earth, forms it with his hands, breathes the breath of life into our nostrils. Notice that in Genesis, we are the only ones who are uniquely formed by God in his image. We could also look at Psalm 139, 16. In thy book were all my members written. So, we see that he creates the physical world. Question, does he create the invisible world? Well, yeah, we see that within Colossians 1. For by him all things were created. Notice, all things. Anything that exists. And Paul goes on to say, in heaven or on earth, visible or what? Invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So, he creates man, but did he create the highest angels? Well, yeah, we just saw that in Colossians 1:16. But not only did he create the best of things, did he also create the meanest insects? Yes. Genesis 1:25, God made everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And what omnipotence wrought did omniscience approve? Yes, Genesis 1:31. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So, when God creates, and there is no sin in the world, he looks at all of his creation, and he calls it very good. Now, this is important to us, because when we come and we talk about creationism versus evolutionism, we need to hold fast to what the Bible teaches, especially along these lines, that when God created the earth and everything therein, he declared it to be very good. Now, what brought sin and chaos and death into the world? The sin of man. It lays upon the sin of man. This is why we need Jesus to come and save us. We need a new man. We need a new Adam. And so Christ comes in the likeness of men, and he saves us from our sin. And in doing so, he gives us a new nature. This is what we see in Ezekiel. New heart, new spirit. We're giving a new nature. So, God created all things. Now, here's an important question, especially when we think about the Trinity. Did God need any assistance in his work? No. Listen, the Son did not assist the Father. The Spirit did not assist the Son and the Father. Together as our one God, they created all things. But he does not need anyone's help to bring about the works of creation. And we see this in the book of Job, Job 41:11. Who has prevented me that I should repay him? Can anyone repay God? know I've used this example before, but when you try to repay God with the things that God gave you, it's as though as your son came to you and said, "Hey, Dad, can I borrow $50 to go buy you a Christmas present?" Who is buying that Christmas present? Your son or you? You are. That's what we try to do with God when we use his stuff to bribe him to do what we want him to do. But he doesn't need our assistance in his work. He says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world?" You weren't there. I didn't need your help. And it's interesting that he creates man on the last day, that we are the pinnacle of his creation, created in his image. But he creates us last precisely for the reason that we would know that he doesn't need our help, but that he graciously gives us life. So here we come to the question of ex nihilo. Did he make all things out of nothing? Yes. And we could go to Hebrews 11:3. "For the things which are seen were not made of the things that do appear." So God didn't take creation and then reorganize it and reform it from chaos to order. Rather, he creates in order, and then he calls it very good. But how does God create? He creates by his word. Genesis 1:3, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. If you go through the book of Genesis, or Genesis 1, you will see over and over again, it's saying, God said this, and there was this. It demonstrates God's power. He doesn't even have to lift a finger to being about creation. He just speaks, and it is. That is the power of the God we serve. He speaks, and it is so. And then that is revealed further, as we saw in John 1:1, that Jesus would be called the Word, that he is the Word of God. He is the one who executes the decrees of God, especially around our redemption. And going back to this, and he created all things in 6 days. God did not need a long period of time to bring about creation. In reality, he didn't even need 6 days, but he does 6 days for a reason. So Exodus 20:11 tells us, "In 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth." So he does so in 6 days. Now you might ask yourself, well, why does the world appear old? Why do we think the world appears old if God only created everything just a couple of thousand years ago? Well, that's easily answered. Because God creates in fullness, or he creates in full maturity. What do I mean? When he created Adam and Eve, how old were Adam and Eve? Were they babies that went through puberty and adolescence and grew up into adults? No, he created a fully grown man. He created a fully grown woman. New Testament, what do we have? Well, you come to Jesus in John 2. He goes to the wedding of Cana of Galilee, and he turns water into wine. And what do they say? This is the best wine. Now, the best wine was wine that was aged and older, but it was new wine. So we see that Jesus creates in fullness. He creates new wine that tastes old. So we can say that when God created the world, he created in full maturity. And by creating it in full maturity, it appears old and yet is young. Now, that's important, especially in my own life, as often when I will talk to Shelby's brother, who is a geologist, he'll say, "Well, these rocks are 6 million years old." And I'll be like, Yeah, like left up to their natural processes. I agree with you. I think it would take 6 million years to do this. But it didn't take 6 million years to do this. Because God spoke, and it was so, and it folded and appeared in full maturity. So, as I've told you before, that's something that I struggled with for a long time. Trying to understand how to reconcile the science and the Bible together. And yet, when I realized this, that God creates in full maturity, Jesus changes things into full maturity, that things can appear old and yet not be as old as they appear. Two more questions. Did he appoint every creature in its proper station and use? Yes. Genesis 1:14. Let there be light in the firmament, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So God places the stars and the moon in the sky, or in the sun in the sky, and they have their purpose. The sun tells us when it's day. The moon tells us when it's night. The stars and the moon tell us our seasons. So they have a proper station. They have a proper use. And finally, does God go on to create? No. He does not continue creating except in the new creation of Christ in the womb. For on the seventh day, God rested from all of his works. Genesis 2:2. So, the work of creation is the execution of God's plan, or the beginning of the execution of God's plan. God decreed everything that happened. I will create, humans will fall, they will die, I will send my son, he will justify them. He will be resurrected. He will ascend to heaven. I will send my spirit. The spirit will come and apply the redemption of the Son to my elect. He will take their hearts of stone and give them hearts of flesh and dwell within them. And then Christ will return and he will do away with all of his enemies. And I will consume all things and we shall enter into the new heavens and the new earth. So the beginning of that execution of the decree is the actual creation. God creates. He creates. And when he creates, he knew that thousands of years later, he would create us, that he would knit us together in our mother's womb, that we would be born, and that we would believe, and that we one day we would die, and one day we would be resurrected with the Son. But it all begins with creation. The foundation of our belief begins in Genesis 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So, what is the work of creation? The work of creation is God making all things of nothing by the word of his power